is Daf Lamed Ches. So we got to the bottom of Lamed Zayin Mabez. The Gemara is saying now the last two lines, Ashkechinu Shmuel Talmide de Rav. Shmuel had come across, he met up with the Talmidim of Rav, and Amar Lahu, and he said, Shmuel says to the Talmidim of Rav, my Amar Rav b'misukenes. What's the chiddush? What's the din Rav says by misukenes? What's his shita? So Amar Lehi, the Talmidim explained, Hachi Amar Rav, Rav says as follows. He says, Goa v'tilarei v'kishkasha ba'azno harejah l'pirkas. Any of these three things happen, that's considered pirkas. What are these three things? Goa, Rashi explains top line, Goa v'tilarei is oze, either one, not all three, but either one. Either Goa, which Rashi says means Goa is to ekes, it screams, lets out some type of noise an animal makes, a move, it's a cow, or v'tilarei, it defecates. Oh, it kishkasha ba'azna, it moves its ear. These are three indications that there's pirkas, the animal is alive, and it's a good shechita. So Amar Lahu, Shmuel says back to the Talmidim, it's tzirichale la'aba la'zuze une. Une is lashon of an ozen. Does Rav really require the moving of the ear? That's how much he needs? It's tzirichale la'aba, he calls Rav Abba. We'll see in just a second why that is. Does Abba really require the moving of the ears? Shani omer, I hold, kol she'eno dvarim she'amisa ose. Anything that's not caused by death, meaning when death happens, sometimes there are immediate movements that take place. Any of those types of movements from death, that's not called pirkus. But anything that doesn't come as a result of Misa, she'eino dvarim she'amisa ose, it's not because of Misa, but it's because of some chiyus that was there, that actually is sufficient. You don't have to go so far to say a moving of the ears. That's a significant type of move. You don't need that far. So my ninu, Dvarim Shem Misa Osa, what are things that the Misa causes a movement? It's not an indication of a life that was there, it's an indication that actually it died. It's just a natural, involuntary action of death. So what, again, Dvarim Shem Misa Osa, Amar Rav Anan Lididi, Mefar Shali, Rav Anan explained to me, Minei Demar Shmuel, Hayisa Yado Kfufa, let's say the hand was closed, Upashtisa, it opened up. That's Davar Shemisa Osa. That's the, there's certain things when the death happens, human body, there's certain things that just happen, they freeze, or certain movements that happen as a result of Misa. That's not an indication of life. So an example is, if the hand, let's say, of the animal, where the claws were closed, it opened up, it spread, that's not called Chias, that comes because of the Misa Osa. But, Davar Shemisa Osa. But if it's pshuta v'kafa, if the hand was open, the palm was open, and then v'kafa, and then it closed it after the shechita or during the shechita, we'll see when that happens. Dvarim she'ein hamisa osa. That's a result of not from the misa doing it. Meaning when the animal closes its hand, that's indication that there was life there, and there was not there wasn't a dead animal. There was a certain pirkus, and that's enough. But to require the ear to move and to shake, that's already too much. It certainly works, but you don't have to go so far to have the ear moving. If the hand closes during the shechita process, that's a significant enough of a pirkus to indicate that there is life. So what's this whole business of Abba that Shmuel called Rav Abba? So look at the Rashi two lines down. La Abba, the Rav have a kari le Shmuel. Shmuel would call Rav Abba. Hachi mishum covered a certain covered way to call Rav. But Tosas argues, Tosas writes, is tzrich le Abba perish bekuntris. He first quotes Rashi, the Shmuel have a kari hachi le Rav b'lashon kavod. Abba was a significant name. We call him Tati, Avinu Shevashemayim. We have other people we call or beings or we call father, even though they're not our father. It's a chashu way to call Rav. But the Aruch Perish, Shikach Shemo, his name was actually Abba. And Rav, Hayakorin Oso, Al Shem Chashivu. So they actually called him Rav because of his Chashiv. His real name was Abba, and they called him Rav because he's the Rav. In a similar way, as they would call Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, they call him Rebbe. So his real name was Abba. So Shmuel, who was his friend, would call him Abba. That was his name. We call him Rav, Shmuel called him Abba. So two things come interestingly out of this discussion. Number one is, the post can talk about, let's say you have a contemporary who's a great Talmud Chacham. Can you call him by his first name? Can you say Reb Reuven, Reb Moshe, or do you have to call him by Moshe, or you have to call him Rav Reuven, Rav Moshe? That's one discussion. So we see Shmuel and Rav were contemporaries, so according to Rashi, you have to call him a Chashiv name. You have to call him Abba was a Chashiv name. You can't call him by the first name. But Tosa says, no, Shmuel, even though he's a contemporary, he was able to call him by his first name, call him Abba, because they're contemporaries. That's point one that comes out. Point two that comes out from this discussion is, let's say a person's name was Abba, like Tosa says. Can the children call his parents Abba, Father Abba? That's his first name. So what, you call him Tati, the Tati didn't exist back then, you call him, I don't know, whatever name you call him. So that's a Shiloh that the post can discuss as well. The Gemara says further now, around 8 lines down, my kamashlan, what's the chiddush here of Rav? The Gemara says, of Shmuel rather. So Tanina, we learned in the Mishnah, Behema Daka Shepashta Yadav Loichzira, if the animal, the Behema Daka, a small animal, had its hand spread out and didn't close it up, didn't bring it back in or close the palm. Psula, that's possible. That indicates that there is no life. It was that was not Pirkus. She'enu ela hotzas nefesh, that's simply a reaction of life, really just death happening, the nefesh leaving, but that doesn't indicate that there was real life in the first place in this animal. However, if the animal, after spreading its hand, it closes up, it closes the palm, that is a kasher shechita. So isn't that exactly what Shmuel said before? If the animal's hands are pshuta, v'kafafa, that indicates there was enough chiyus that was there, and therefore it's a good shechita. That's exactly what the Mishnah says. So why does Shmuel repeat that which the Mishnah teaches us? So the Gemara says, no. Had I had the Mishnah alone, I thought what you would need for Pirkus was dafka de kaifa. When the animal's hand was already closed, upasha, then it spread, and then hav de kaifa, then it did another closing. Aval pshut, if the animal's hand rather, was already open, wasn't closed, it was already open, and kafasa, and it just closed once, lo, I would think maybe that's not enough of a chiyus that was there. Kamashlam from Shmuel, that no, even if the hand was already pshuta, if it just simply kafsa, it just closed it, that would be sufficient grounds to allow for such a shechita. So asks the Gemara now, Meisive Rabbi Yossi Omer Haya Rabbi Meir Omer, Rabbi Meir would say, Goa b'shas shechita ains at Pirkus. He actually argued on above, which we said Rav can argue on the Mishnah, but Rav said above that Goa, if the animal lets out a scream, a yell, that indicates that it's Pirkus, and Rabbi Meir clearly says it's not good enough. So how does Rav argue on the Mishnah? And further, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yossi Omer Mishmo, in the same name of Rabbi Meir, Afil Hitilu Rei Ukishkasha Bizanvo Ains at Pirkus. All three items that Rav said was an indication of Pirkus, according to this Mishnah, is not. So how does Rav argue? Kasha goa el goa, kasha rei el rei. So Gemara says no. Goa el lo kasha, that's not a stira. Ha de avi kala, ha de ame kala. Depends how loud it was. It was a very strong coal. So then that indicates there was a real chiyus that was there, and that was Pirkus. If it's a very soft groan, let's say, so then that would indicate there was not really much chiyus there, and it wouldn't be good shechita. And with respect to rei arei nami lokash, that too is not a contradiction. Whether the animal defecates or doesn't, or whether defecation is considered a chiyus or not, so that's not a steer either, because kan bisho tatas and kan bimitareses. What does that mean? What's the difference? So if you look at Rashi, Rashi explains bisho seses is bisamich, if the animal just defecates right there, and masreses means limrachok. It went to the bathroom in a very, it went far away. It's like, if you will, you know, ever go to the zoo, and they say by the, I think the hippopotamus, stay clear 50 feet, splash zone or something like that. So that's a misrazezes, that indicates if it's merachok, that had the ability, had a chias before him, so that shows it was strong enough, and it would indicate there was chias, and therefore a good shechita. Okay, the Gemara now is going to present three different shitas in the Amoraim. When does Pirkus have to take place? When does this movement, whether it be the ears, the hands, the legs, whatever the Pirkus is, what's the moment it is considered significant? Is it the beginning of Shechita, the middle of Shechita, or does it have to take place at the end of Shechita? So these are 3 days we're about to see. Gemara says, Amar Rav Chista, Pirkus Sh'amru, the Pirkus that's being described here, whatever the definition of Pirkus is, when does it take place? It's Besof Shechita. It has to be at the end of Shechita. So what does it mean, the end of Shechita? My Besof Shechita. So Gemara says, not really the end of Shechita, really Be'emsa Shechita, in the middle. We call it Sof Shechita, La'fuke Tchila Shechita, Dilo. Meaning if it takes place, a movement takes place at the beginning of the Shechita, that does not indicate any level of life. Has to take place what's called Sof Shechita, which really means Be'emsa, someplace in the middle of the process of the Ma'isa Shechita. So that's his definition, Be'emsa Shechita. How does Rav Chista know this? I'm Rav Chista, Mina, Aminala, how do I know? He quotes a Mishnah. Our Mishnah says, the Tnan, Behema Daka Shepashta Yada, V'lo Hichzira Psula. The animal shechted and it moves its hands, it spreads a hand and doesn't close them up again, that's Shechita's puzzle. Now, Amos, when does this take place? Ilema b'sof Shechita. If you say that this requirement is at the end of Shechita, kol hecha de techa v'tezel, do we expect the animal to live for so long? When you shechted an animal, how much longer do we want the animal to live? It's already been shechted. So it can't be requiring closing its hands when it's already been shechted. Sof Shechita, the animal's dead. So Ella must be referring to lava be'emsa shechita. We need the hand to be able to move during the shechita, but not at the end of shechita. And that's his raya from Sof, that be'emsa shechita. Gemara's Amar Le Rava. Rava says, no, I disagree. There's no rai from that Mishnah. Liolam besov shchita. Shani Omer, I hold, kol she'ino osa kein besov shchita biyadua she'nishmasa netula heimana kodum lechem. Rav argues. It sounds like a machlokis in the Metzius exactly, but Rava says, no, I think it really means sov shchita, and that if it doesn't move its hand, doesn't close its hand by the end of shchita, then it's not a good shchita. Even though you have this concept kol heichi teichi v'teza, how much longer will the animal live? Well, we know, you shech the chicken, knock a chicken's head off, it's going to still run around. You take animals and you cut off head, the nerves are still moving to a certain extent. So here as well, even though it's sof shchita and the animal might be dead, if there's some level of life in the animal, it would also be able to close its hand, and therefore Rava says it actually means sof shchita mamish. So then the Gemara says, Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak Amar, he argues and says a third shita, he says, Amar pirkos shamu betchila shchita. So while Rav Chista and Rava argued bemsa versus sof, Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak holds it betchila shchita. So Amar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak mina aminola, how do I know it's referring to that pirkos takes place betchila shchita? It's not. Misha tells us our mission as well from a couple days ago. Amar Rabbi Shimon hashoche balayla will machar matak salam mileim dam kshera shezinka. So if a person shechted at nighttime, so he had a little fire, was able to see what he was doing in terms of the ma'isa shechita, but he wasn't able to see the walls, whether or not there's blood all over the walls. So we said before, it doesn't really mean blood over the walls, it means the blood in the walls of the animal itself. So the Gemara says again, so the nighttime he shechted, but didn't know if the blood got all over the place. So the macha, the next day, the sun came into the room, he saw that the ksalim were full of blood, blam, dam, and ksher, and therefore it's good, because that indicates a shezinka, that the animal had been spitting up and vomiting blood up. And Kemidas Rabbi Eliezer, like Rabbi Eliezer requires, V'amar Shmuel explains a kosle base hashchita shaninu. We're not talking about the walls of the room, the walls of the base hashchita of the animal, of his neck, that his blood had been pouring down. So he saw in the morning that there was blood stains all over the animal's neck and body. So the Gemara then says, now that's the Mishnah, and that's the Shmuel's comment. So, if you say Bishma b'tchila shchita shapir, if you say that you require there to be the pirkas at the beginning of shchita, this all makes sense. If you see the contrast, it makes much more sense now. If you say that you require pirkas to take place at the end, so leichash dilma b'tchilas shchita zinka. I mean, if you have to, if you need the final moments are the most important moments of seeing whether there is life or not to this animal. So by zinka, so in the morning you see what there's blood on the walls. You know what happened? It could have, you need to be at the end. But in the morning you see blood there. It could have taken place in the beginning, but by the end of the shita, no blood was coming out anymore. You can't tell the zman of when it happened if you're not actually seeing it come out. So the fact that you see blood in the morning must be all we care about is at least if it's there during the tchila shita. That's by the zinka case, by the blood coming out. So just like by the case of the zinka, that the blood has to come out in the tchila shchita, so to the pirkus, the movement of the animal is only relevant if it takes place during tchila shchita. We're equating the halachas of the blood of the dam bekosle beis shchita to that of the zman of pirkus. So Gemara says, how do you know to compare the two cases? That you could compare this case of the zinuk to the pirkus. Gemara says, dilma b'tchila shchita zinka. Dilma shiny zinuk, da'adif. Maybe zinuk, the blood coming out of the animal's neck, is a greater raya than that of pirkus. Meaning what? Look at how Rashi says. This Rashi, we're going to walk through Rashi during the rest of the Gemara here, just to make it clear. Rashi says, five lines up, shiny zinuk da'adif. Chiyusa upirkas gadahu. The blood coming out is a greater indicator of there being life. Hilkach, therefore, afilu betchila shchita zinka shaper dami. Therefore, even if the blood came out in the beginning, in the middle, or the end, wherever it came out, that's an indication that there is life. But as opposed to, when it comes to the pirkas may only be a good indicator if there's still life at the end of shchita, sof shchita. So you can't bring a raya from the zinka case to the case of pirkas. So Gemara says, "Mi adif is zinka, is zinuk really greater indicator of life than that of pirkus?" That's not. Doesn't the Mishnah say? Now, this is just a little bit tricky reading the Gemara's here. You have to be careful how to read the. It's all based on the small diukim here. Mi adif is zinuk really a greater indicator of chias than that of pirkus? That's not. Our Mishnah says, "Rabbi Eliezer Omer, daim zinka. It's enough. It's zinka." Now, lashon daim means it's a lower level. So you don't need a high level pirkus. Zinka is sufficient. So that doesn't that indicate that zinka is a lower level of chias and it's acceptable according to Rabbi Eliezer? Gemara says no. Kal midi Rabbi Gamliel v'adif midi Rabbanon. It depends who you're addressing, who it's relative to. So it's somewhere in the middle. So if you look at Rashi to put this all together, Rashi says, Kiel midi Rabban Gamliel, four lines up. Dibai biyadu biregel b'shneim. Rabban Gamliel from the Mishnah requires both a hand and a leg to move. So that's a very that's a tall order. So that's a really strong requirement. So therefore, zinuk is less than that. You don't need as much. But with respect to Rabbanan, says Rashi, Adiv midrabanim, it's more chias than that which Rabbanan require. Damre biyad oberegel. They think either the hand or their leg movement's enough. So it's more than Rabbanan. It's adiv with respect to the Rabbanan, but it's daya, it's less, it's kal than that of Rabban Gamliel. So that's how everything fits in. Comes along now, last eight lines of the Gemara. Amar Ravina, Amar Lisama, Bar Chilkai. Akshe be avua de bar avuvram. So pay attention to this. The avua of bar avuvaram. I'm not sure I pronounced that word exactly. How they say it here?
Avuvram.
Okay, avuvram. So he's the son. Listen. So he's the father of the son of avuvram. So the father of the son is himself.
It's himself, right?
That's himself. Okay, just out. So why is that? So look at Rashi before we get to see what he says. Rashi says three lines up. Avua bar avuvram. Avuvram. Zeu avuvram atzma. That's him himself. So why is he calling the father of the son? So umakirin hayu esaben velo esaf. They didn't really know who he was. They knew his son. So he was taking. He was being respected by who? Being the father of so and so, the father of a son chashiv. They didn't mention who the son is, but fine. They call him based on his son. It reminds me of Avua the Shmuel. There's a person called Avua the Shmuel, one of the great Amorim. Avua the Shmuel is known because he's the father of Shmuel. No one knew who his father was, but he knew who Shmuel was. Avua the Shmuel.
But here it doesn't say the name of the son.
Yeah, exactly. They don't even say who's there, right?
Anyway.
His son is known based on the father.
Yeah. You still don't know who the son is.
I'm not sure, exactly, yeah. But it reminds me, so there's a fascinating Tosfos and Kedushin just off topic for a moment, based on Yerushalmi, why Avua de Shmuel is called Avua de Shmuel? Why is he called the father of Shmuel? The simple understanding is because everyone knew who Shmuel was, they say he's the father of Shmuel, he had a lot of nachas being the father of Shmuel. There's a fascinating Yerushalmi that says, no, because there's a case that if a person goes to Medina Sayyam, the husband goes overseas and the wife becomes pregnant, so now you have to assume that she's Mizana because the husband hadn't been here the past year. So the Yerushalmi says, no, it's very possible that you could use Shemus Hashem and do Kvitzes Adarech and jump over and come back and forth. And they said that was a mice that happened with Avu the Shmuel. So they called him Avu the Shmuel to show that the father came back to Kvitzes Adarech and he's the father of Shmuel. That's the mice. That's Yerushalmi. Tosfos quotes this Yerushalmi. So we have other instances where people have fascinating names based on their children. Okay. Anyway, so what does he say? So Gemara says, where are we now? Okay, Amri lay others say Achua debar Abuvram, or perhaps it was the brother of the son of Abuvram, which is his nephew. Okay, Umidrabanan mi adif. Are the Rabbanan? Are they the kind of a zinuk really stronger proof of chias than that of the Rabbanan shita, which is either yad or regel? Vatnan, the Mishnah tells us Chachamim omrim ad shetipargeis o beyad o beregel, either one. So now, until they've done this, until always implies that you need more. Until you've gotten a further level of pirkus. So, ahai, which kaima? Who is the chacham? Who are the chacham addressing here when they say ad shiti parkes? Ilema abrigamliel. So if he's referring to abrigamliel, who requires both yad plus regel. Well, kaven shapirkus mi baile. He should say no. It's enough that if he just did a little level of pirkus. So if you say ad, he's being more machmer than someone else. So it can't be more machmer than Rabban Gamliel. He's being more makel than Rabban Gamliel. El pshita ad de Rabbi Eliezer. And Rabbi Eliezer is the one who holds zinuk is sufficient. The iadif my ad. If really Rabbanan is more lenient than that of Rabbi Eliezer, it doesn't require as much level of chias. He shouldn't say ad. He should say it's diet. It's enough to have either yad or regel. In which case, this is a kashya from this Mishnah. It doesn't seem to prove that zinuk is more adif than that of the Yad and Regal, Pirkus of Yad and Regal.
Why would Zinuk be enough? I mean, even if it's almost dying, as long as the heart is beating, there's going to be blood pouring out.
No, I guess you. I don't know anything about
how. Okay, the heart is very, very low, and you say
it could be. You need part of the energy. I imagine the strength to have the blood squirting out.
As long as the heart is beating, there is the blood.
But may not be circulating as much as it could if animal is stronger. Okay, the Gemara now says, again, I have no idea. Gemara says, last two lines of the page here, Rava Amar Pirkus She'amru B'Sof Shchita. He says, no, I think it takes place, has to take place at the end of Shchita. How does he know this? Amar Rava says, Mina Aminala, what's the Raya? The Sani, the Raya, tells us, based on the Pasuk, says a pasuk with regards to what's acceptable for karbanos. So the pasuk says, I think it's an emor, shor, or chesev, that goes on to Amud Beis now. What do we learn from those words? So shor, chesev, it means prat, leklaim, that klaim doesn't work. If you have an animal, a mixed breed of some sort, a goat and a sheep or something like that, that's a klaim, that's not acceptable for karbanos. O'ez, what's O'ez coming to exclude? Prat l'nidma. Nidma is where an animal is looks different than its parents. It you know, comes from goats and looks like a sheep or something along those lines. That's also unacceptable. That's possible for a karbam. Ki yivale, now this gets a little bit trickier. Ki yivale is prat l'yotze dofen. It has to be born naturally. A C-section does not work, cannot be used as a karbam. Shivas yamim has to be there. Prat l'mechus hazman can't be less than that. It's lacking time. It's too young to be brought as a karbam. And then finally, tachas imo. What does it mean in the pasuk tachas imo? Prat l'yasum. If the animal is a yasum, the animal is an orphan. Okay, so I want to understand what does it mean yasum. Ha yasum heichidami. Where do you have an animal that's an orphan? That's disqualified from being a karbam. Ilaim, if you're going to tell me diyalidasei, Imei, that the mother had given birth to it, the hadar mesa, then the mother died afterwards, now it's the yasam, has no mother, so the yolam teichav etezo, that means you can never bring a carbon that doesn't have a mother, so if the animal is like an old animal and the mother died because she was old age, so you can't bring such a cow, that's strange, so it can't be the case where it was born and then lost its mother, ela de mesa v'hadar yilirate. There must be a case where first the animal died, the mother died, and after the mother died, it had given birth to this calf. So the pasuk says, well, that's michi yivale nafka. That's michi yivale, because the Gemara assumes that the dead animal can't give birth naturally. So the animal died, the cow died, so they ripped open the stomach, they did a yotze dofen, and they found the calf inside. So that's already learned from michi yivale. That's excluded. That's a yotze dofen case. So what's a situation of tachas imo, of a prat liyasom, that's not already implied by the previous pasukim? So Gemara says, Ella, shita, it's obvious it must be zep pirish lemisav, zep pirish lechayim. Where no, there was a normal birth, but the moment of birth, like we have, like Rachel had given birth to Binyamin, so Binyamin was alive and Rachel died. So here too, the cow died while the calf was being born, and they happened at the same time. So there's a full Leda, but the moment it came into this world, it had no mother ready. So that's the case of a Yasum. So that's the situation. So how does this relate to our question of Pirkus, B'Tchila versus Sof? So Gemara explains how this way gets a little tricky. I'mri b'shemaf, you say it makes sense, ba'inan chayusa b'sof, Leda, that you need life at the end of Leda as well. So now, we're talking about Leda, but we're going to apply it to Pirkus. So just focus on Leda for a moment. So if you say, again, that you require Chiyusa Besof, Leda, Hainut, Itzrichra, Lemute, that really, in order for a Leda to be considered a Leda, the animal has to be alive, the mother has to be alive until the very end, and therefore it was a good Leda, and that's why you need a special Pasuk, Tachas Imo, even though there's a good Leda, it's not possible because Ki Valed. It was Yivaled. It's possible because it didn't have a mother when it was actually fully born. But el yamritz lo ba'inan chiyusa besof leida. So if you say you don't need life at the end of leida, so then lamale michiyivaled nafka. So let me explain what's going on here. The assumption here is that an animal that started giving birth and died in the middle, you cannot do a natural birth. That's the assumption right now, and it has to do yotze dofen.
Can't do a natural birth, or that's already defined as
so that's a machlokas. So that's a machlokas Rishon, exactly. So right now, some Rishon hold that's impossible. I mean, part of labor, we know the mother has to push. So once the animal's dead, it has no energy to push out anymore. So the only way to get the animal out is through yotze dofen. Or others say, no, even if it became a natural birth, if the animal is dead, the mother's dead already, that's not viewed as natural birth. That's considered yotze dofen. So that's a machlokas Rishon.
Either way, it's already excluded from kiyuvah.
Exactly. So that's what's going on. So if you're going to say again that Ella, now back inside to make this all clear, Ella iyam is lo ba'inan chiyusa basof, you don't really need life at the end to have the birth take place. So then, lamali, when you separate pasuk of tachas imo, that's not called a natural birth. That's called yote dofen across the board. Michi yivale nafka. It's already learned out from michi yivale. That's not a normal birth. The mother was dead, or was a yote dofen case. So therefore, the fact that you need a separate pasuk must be that there was a full regular leida that took place. And the only way leida could take place at the end is if there's chiyus, if there's life, all the way to the end of the leida. So now what goes on here, Rashi explains, so once you establish you need chiyus, you need that life to the end of Sof Leida, we can now point it out and apply that to Pirkus as well. Pirkus also must be still irrelevant, has to still be there at the Sof of the Shechita. That's the equation. Okay, the Gemara now, it's the rest of it's much clearer. Gemara now says, Amar Rava. Rava says, bottom line, Hilchah. So how do we paskin in the end of the day? Kiham asnisa, like the following Tosefta. Tosefta teaches that behema daka, a smaller animal, shepashta yadavlo hichzira, it spread its hand out but didn't close, it didn't curl up at all. That's psula. Bameh devar mamur, and when is this shoe, says the Tosefta, biyad, by the hand. Aval beregel, with comes the leg, bein pashav lo kafa, bein kafa lo pashta, ksheira. The leg doesn't have to move and close, it could either spread or it could close, either way is sufficient by the regel. Only by the yad is a requirement for it to close. But the regel, even spreading the regel, even getting it straight, that is also going to be sufficient. Most likely, spread elbows, most likely, I don't...
It's probably like, it's a zero, yeah, really.
Because their paws or whatever they have, they have hooves,
right,
so they don't...
They
kind of
open.
Yad refers to the entire foreleg.
Right,
right, so right, exactly. Like the bending the knees or the elbows.
Yad is the foreleg.
Right, exactly. 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 So it'd be like the elbows bending versus straightening out, and the right. Knees, that would seemingly be the front would be the yad, and the back legs would be the regular. So when it comes to the yad, only if it bent its yad would that be sufficient, raya, but pasha yad wouldn't be sufficient. But by the regel, whether it's pasha or whether it's kafa, both of them would actually serve as a raya of there being some level of life. So then the Mishnah qualifies, the Tosefta rather qualifies even further. Bamed, vamamur, when is this true? Badaka, or by a smaller animal like a goat or a sheep, about bagasa, like a cow, bain biyad, bain biregel, bain pasha velo kafa, bain kafa lo pasha, ksheira. Any level of movement, even if it's the yad that's simply being spread out, just being straightened, that's sufficient raya that there was a life, and there would be good shechita by a gasa. Then the Tosefta says further, when it comes to an oaf, a bird, afilo rafraf ela gapo, even if it only moves a little bit, just the wing, just slightly, below kishkesh ela zanvo, just like wags its tail a little bit, the feathers, hareza pirkos, that's sufficient when it comes to a bird. Because birds, of course, have much less energy and life to it, I guess, so even a small movement wouldn't be sufficient. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
A healthy animal needs none of it.
Exactly, right. Yeah. Healthy animal, you could check that, drop dead, it's completely fine. Here, the Mesukanis is only good if there's Pirkus, exactly.
So by the bird, would we consider Dino Shechita one simon?
It's a good question. What would this man be? Seemingly one simon,
one simon,
yeah.
One would be enough, and that's
yeah.
How you're ready. And
yeah,
ready.
Yeah. Okay. So then the Gemara says, so this is the Tosefta. So Gemara says, my Kamash Milam. What's the Tosefta teaching us that we don't already know from the Mishnah? Tosefta's only add things, the Gemara assumes at least. Tosefta adds things that don't already, not already taught in the Mishnah. So we already know this. Kulam Tinaninu. We learned this in the Mishnah. How do we learn this from the Mishnah? Behema Daka Shepashta Yada Velo Hichzira Psula. So that's what the Baraisa says. If the yad doesn't close up, so then it's not a it doesn't bend. That's a raya that there's no life there. So you could medayik from the Mishnah yad in the regel low. The regel doesn't require the same level of yad. Even pashta by yad would be sufficient. By regel rather would be sufficient. And also the Mishnah only mentions daka. Daka in gasa low. Gasa doesn't have the same level of restrictions. Even a small movement of the yad or regel would be good by the gasa. So what's the Tosefta adding that we don't already know from the Mishnah? The Gemara answers, Of itzrich lei telotznan. There is no implication about a bird from our Mishnah. That's the chiddush we learn from the Tosefta. By a bird, a small movement of the feathers of the wing or the feathers of the tail is a sufficient raya of there being chiyus when it comes to shechlin of. Okay, new Mishnah tells us now here, number B. Hashochet le'ovet kochavim shchitasek sheru. Let's say you're shechting on behalf of a goy. He has an animal, and he wants you to shecht for him. So are you allowed to shecht for him? Is that a good shchita? The Tanakhama says it's kshera. You're allowed to. And Rabbi Yazar Posey says you're not allowed to. The concern is because we think that he's going to have some machshava avodah zara. I'm doing the shchita, but it's for him. He owns the animal. So while I'm shechting it, he's going to think, l'shem avodah zara, it's going to disqualify it. I can't be involved in any level of avodah zara. Now, in according to the Tanakhama, who holds that you actually can shecht for a goy, there's a question that we show him, are you allowed to say a bracha? Should you say a bracha on the shechita and the kisui adam? So some Rishonim say you should say a bracha, you're doing a shechita. Others say you can't say vitzivanu, you're shechting for a goy. How can you say shetzivanu? So some say you can't say the bracha on shechita, but you should say a bracha on the kisui adam, because the kisui adam is not part of the shechita, that's not being matir the food. The shechita is for the goy, so no bracha for that. But now I've got in front of me blood from a chaya, blood from an oaf, that's my responsibility. So although you wouldn't say a bracha on the shechita, you would say a bracha on the kisui adam. That of course connects to the sugyas we discussed before, how kisui adam and shechita, how they relate to each other. Okay, the Mishnah now says further. Amar Rabbi Eliezer, afilu shachta lecha l'ovid kochavim mechater kaved shela psula. Let's say you own the entire animal, except with the kaved, what, the kidney? I mean the liver? Liver, right?
Liver.
So the liver, so even if I have, I own the whole animal, but he has one chelik, he owns a liver. So I'm shechting the animal, and he's taking just the liver, that is also possible. Because his level of involvement, that small machshav he's going to have on the liver, will affect the entire animal.
That's your diaphragm.
Oh yeah, the diaphragm.
Not the kaved, it's the chatzir.
Ah, okay, the chatzir kaved. The okay.
So what's the pshat that the oved kochavim is thinking?
Yeah, we're gonna get there. The Mishnah about to say that. We're about to get to that point. Now, even though it says chatzir kaved, which is the diaphragm, I guess. So then Tosis points out here, lav dafka nuket yoser sa kaved mishum de ola legavo havik chelav adam el afilu kazay shel shar baser. Any part of the animal that the goy owned, we're shechting for him, is enough grounds to disqualify the shechting. So what's wrong with shechting? What's the psul that the goy is going to infuse into this animal? So Gemara explains. The Mishnah rather explains shestam machsheves oved kochavim lavodus kochavim. His machshava on his bilus of this animal that he wants the shechita to be effective for the avodah zara, and there, that's going to disqualify it. That's going to disqualify. Does that answer your question?
No, I'm trying to understand like what is he thinking that the kaved is going to, that he's not going to eat it, like because isn't that when we're saying that it's kosher, when it ends up being for that the Israel is eating.
Mm-hmm.
So what he was thinking of, what
he was thinking, that he's going to, I don't know,
to give it to others, and then he dies, and then the Israel can keep it, or what, or he gives it as a present afterwards.
No, he's probably going to want to, he wants to be shechted so he could eat it to celebrate his idols, his gods. That's my something along those lines.
Something like that.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So, but somehow involvement of Avodah Zarah, that's his machshava, and any level of involvement, any ownership that he has with that psul machshava will disqualify the entire shechita, according to Rabbi Eliezer. But comes along now, Amar Rabbi Yossi, kavachomer, advarim, no, it's a kavachomer, it should actually be good. Ma b'makom shemachshava poselas b'mukdashim, we know by mukdashim, the Gemara is going to explain what this means, what the machshava is, not today's daf, but maybe tomorrow, I think, that the machshava, that it's poselas by mukdashim, by karbanos, Ein hakol holech ela acher ha'oved. It all goes based on the Kohen who's doing the avoda. Who cares about the Baal? If you know, Ezra's the Kohen and Reuven has some machshava, we don't care what Reuven's thinking. Right. It all depends on the oved. Exactly. So if it's all in a situation where karbanos, where the we're very sensitive to psul machshava, yet it only depends on the oved himself. Makom, our case of chulin. Shein machshava poselas b'chulin. Psul machshava doesn't affect chulin at all. Again, we'll figure out what that psul machshava referring to is, but it's not as sensitive. Chulin's not as sensitive to psul machshava. Ein odin shlo yeh akol holich ela achar ha'shochet. It should all be based on what the shochet's thinking. Who cares what the Baal thinks? And therefore, Yossi thinks you can shecht for a goy. So Gemara says, "Honey me, honey Tanai Islu the Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yossi. Our machlokas in the Misha, the machlokas Tanai in the Misha, all hold of Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yossi. Not really all hold of him, but Rabbi Eliezer is going to explain what the machlokas is. The Sani, the Raisa teaches us that Amar Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yossi, Shemati, I heard Shabal mefagel, that the Baal is mefagel, that if the Baal is mefagel, they could they have the ability mefagel. It actually takes effect. It ruins the animal. That if even though the Ovid, the Kohen is thinking the proper things, and the Baal is thinking pigo, that's going to be pigo. That's according to one opinion. That's according to Rabbi Eliezer in the Mishnah. But Tanakama Savar, our Tanakama holds Savar Ishmaina the Chashiv in Ilo Lo. Only if you heard them thinking about it would it be possible. But if you didn't hear them say any psul of Avodah Zarah, so then you don't have to assume anything, because stam machshavas oved kochavim la'avodas kochavim lo amrinan. We don't hold this way. Tanakama doesn't hold that stam machshava is for Avodah Zarah. So again, Rabbi Eliezer thinks that stam machshava is Avodah Zarah, and Tanakama thinks stam machshava is not.
Is that what it is for the machlokas, is that the both in the stam machshava is Avodah Zarah, one requires that it should be said verbally?
I could be that, or it's question, do we acknowledge the Stam Machshava as being significant? Could be.
Stam Machshava is
not, I'm not sure which way to read. I'm not sure. Right. So I don't know if it means we don't say that he thinks it's a Stam, or we don't accept it. I'm not sure which one. So then the Gemara says, Rabbi Eliezer Savar, he holds, no. Even though we didn't think that he was thinking such a thing, we do embrace such a concept, in which case the Stam Machshava does disqualify it. That's the first two opinions. And then also Rabbi Yossi Lememar, he comes to saying, even if you did hear him say that I'm thinking about the Psul Machshava, I'm doing the Shem Avodah Zarah, he says, "Ze mechashiv, ze oved lo amrina." We don't hold to this thing. His thought process has no impact on what's going on with the shochet. So these are three opinions here. Right. So the Gemara now says Ikadamri. Differently, Gemara presents the three machlokas as follows. B'dishamina the chashiv. If you heard him say, "I'm doing this the shame of Avodah Zarah," to pligi, that's a machlokas. Tanakama savar ki amrinan zem mechashiv ze oved harne mil b'fnim. When we say that this is what guy thinks and that guy works, meaning it's going to impact, it's going to ruin the carbon. That's only the bifnim. About b'chutz, outside lo, we don't hold this way, because chutz mipnim lo yafin. We don't learn one from the next. So although in the base of Mikdash,
we just don't say it with chul.
Exactly. The mechashev, the baal, can ruin the carbon. It cannot ruin the chul. And that's according to Rebbe, that's according to the Tanakhama. Exactly, Rabbi Eliezer Lemeimer. He asked Rabbi Eliezer Lemeimer. Says no, Yalfin and Chutz Bifnim. We do learn outside from inside. Meaning, just like outside, the Baal can ruin it with Plumach Shava. Also, Bichutz, when it comes to Chulin, his Baal can be Machashiv and ruin the Chulin as well. And finally, comes also Rabbi Yossi Lemeimer. Afil Bifnim. Now, I mean, even inside, we don't disqualify the Baal's Machshava. Zeh Machashiv v'zeh Oved. We don't say it anywhere. Bein Bichutz, Bein Bifnim.